ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to the Scare Blast podcast. And now here's your host, Lisa Burton.
Hey everybody, welcome to Scare Blast podcast. I am your host, Lisa Burton, and today we are joined by Miss Sarah Shockey, who is an actor and improviser about town in Chicago. She also does little drawings.
That's me!
And they're so great.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I love them. So we watched the movie Rose Red, which is in fact a made-for-TV miniseries.
Yes.
Written by Stephen King. So it, originally it was a Stephen King book.
It was a Stephen King concept.
Oh.
He was hit by that car, if you remember that.
Yep.
And then he said...
Like in real life.
In real life, he was hit by a car and he was in the hospital and he was like, I was in so much pain. The only thing that helped ease the pain was getting lost in my work. So this was originally supposed to be a movie with Steven Spielberg, but Stephen King always has a different vision than, like, big, like, Stanley Kubrick,
yeah.
Steven Spielberg. Like, he wants all these sort of, like, emotional, cerebral, talking, emotional scares, whereas, like, regular people are like, can you just scare me? And
right.
And just, like, see something. So he worked on this miniseries, but the book is actually not written by Stephen King.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Okay, so I should also say then that this movie is real basic. It's your basic haunted house story.
That's what they wanted, like the biggest haunted house movie.
Yep.
The scariest haunted house in the world.
Yep, so they have this big scary haunted house, and then you have this parapsychologist who wants to take all these psychics into this, what they call a dead cell, which we'll talk about later.
wake up the house.
Oh boy, and wake up this haunted house using all these psychics. That is the basic plot line of this movie. Now,
yeah.
Sarah, let me ask you, do you like scary movies or stories, or is this a thing for you?
I like scary movies, but if you can tell by the one that I picked, I prefer more like, who are all these people? What's this house like? Why are the ghosts here? Can we help get them home?
Yes!
What's with the... So, like, I'll go and see scary movies with people, but,
yeah.
like, I don't like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right.
I don't like... I really liked It Follows, because I felt like that was kind of a deeper... I'm just interested in, like, the people more than the, like, jump scares.
Similarly, yeah, I love the paranormal or because I like the history of it.
Yes.
Like the story behind it. Yeah.
Like Sixth Sense has a lot, like you can tell like a lot went into it.
Yeah.
I like those sort of heavier ones that are almost like a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like the ones where it's like sexy girl gets scared, sexy people get killed, like I'm always like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, why? What are they thinking?
Yeah. Yeah. I totally am on the same page.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So then let me ask, also, is this a movie that you, this is a movie that you would typically choose like on a Friday night if you're going to watch a movie?
I've only seen it one other time because I completely forgot. When we first started talking about it, I forgot that this was a miniseries. I couldn't remember. I had like a few images of it in my head and I couldn't remember. And I knew that I had given the companion novel diary to my roommate Tyler to read, and then he bought Rose Red on Amazon for like 97 cents, and so I knew that he had it. I don't watch movies as much as I feel like I should.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was so happy to watch it again, because, like, I know that I like it. I couldn't remember why. I knew it was, like, equal parts kind of cheesy and weird, and then, like, for whatever reason, it's the kind of story where, like, my brain will fill in any gaps that are existing where I'm like, oh no, I believe this. Cause I like that Stephen King made a whole world.
Yes.
That's, I love worlds that I can get inside.
I agree. Yeah. What made you choose this movie over other paranormal movies or other scary movies that you like?
I think I wanted an excuse to jump back into a haunted house movie.
Mm-hmm.
And normally the one that I jump back into is The Shining.
Yeah.
I love... It's a very similar concept. I really love the idea of a place having energy and a history and affecting the people that are in it.
Agreed. So, let's start to walk through this movie. We've got a character that we are introduced to right away, Joyce...
Reardon,
a parapsychologist.
Yeah, she's like a bubbly parapsychologist. You see her in her, like... Such a stereotypical professor role of like, okay, class, I'm going to make a couple of little jokes, and then I'm going to mention, and then there's like that guy, I don't know his real actor name, but he was in Always Sunny, and he always plays a sniveling little, like, yum-yum, like, guy. And he's like, question about your expedition that you're going on. And it's just, like, it's such exposition, and I love it. So you see her, and she seems, like, very nice and competent and smart. And I remember not remembering much about the movie, but when I started watching it again, I was like, there's something weird about her, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what happened.
Yeah.
There's something weird about her.
About the parapsychologist. About
yes,
this, like,
Joyce. Yeah,
yeah, Joyce. Yeah.
And she's dating the great-grandson of the owners of Rose Red, who is such a hottie.
Yeah.
That guy is in two of my all-time favorite movies, The Stupids and Waiting for Guffman. I just adore him. And I'm like, he picks all the movies that I love. Even though, like, I know The Stupids is, like, panned. And Rose Red was panned. And, like, people like Waiting for Guffman. His role is very small in Waiting for Guffman. But I was like, I just love this guy. He always plays a pretty boy.
Who is he in? Wait, is he the pretty boy in Waiting for Guffman? The one that...
Yeah, the one that cancels at the end of the show.
That is so funny. I didn't even notice. Like, I didn't recognize him.
Well, every time I see him, I'm like, I know that guy and I love him and I don't know why. And this time I looked it up. So she's dating him and he's helping her get into the house. And she's collected a team of different parapsychologists. They all have different skills.
Psychic abilities. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really interesting. And then they open the movie with the one girl who has the ultimate psychic abilities.
She's basically Carrie. She's like an autistic version of Carrie.
Which,
and she got bit by a dog, they establish.
Yeah.
And then destroyed the home of the people who had the dog with rocks by drawing a picture of it and scribbling out over it. So it's like, this is a person who should probably be left alone.
Yes. She has, and she somehow tears her family apart just by being, like, just by being.
It's a lot of, like, kind of heavy-handed commenting on how, like, autistic people are treated in society.
It's heavy-handed that way, and also they treat her like she has some severe mental disabilities.
Yeah, it's very, I think it's, like, early autistic awareness that's, like, guys, I know you're trying to do good here, but, like, yikes.
But yikes! And the way she talks in some
parts. It's the actress from the Disney Channel original movie Quince.
First of all, you know the Disney Channel original movie Quince.
Yep. This is, like, this movie is also, I like it because it's this, like, Pandora's box of actors that I like from other things.
Yeah.
Julian Sands is one of the parapsychologists.
Yeah.
He's in A Room with a View. You see his ding dong in that movie. I highly recommend it.
The way they treat autism in this movie is really...
She's really acting it, like, a way where, like, somebody needed to direct her a little better on how to act autistic.
Agreed, yeah. Yeah, she, I looked into her a little bit, and she mostly is, or at least she got her start on Broadway. That is, like, she started Broadway, and then she...
As, like, a child actress?
As a child actress. Okay. And then she kind of launched into this career of commercials, like Kellogg's cereal commercials. And then she did a bunch of Disney-style movies.
Stuff,
so you can, you get
the idea.
Wasn't
she in Halloween Town?
Maybe.
I think she was in Halloween Town.
So you get this idea, though, that she's kind of, if she wasn't playing an autistic girl, she's kind of this over-actress.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that there's that miniseries producer curse of, like, we want, who's a hot young actress? We can get anyone.
Yeah.
Who's convincingly, the thing that's crazy is the girl that they got to play her as a child may have actually been autistic.
Right.
Because she very, like, was so similar looking and acting to an autistic girl that I worked with that I was like, oh, wow, like, they really did a good job here. And then you see her when she's older and you're like, well, that's out the window.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, I got baby, like, grinning into the camera.
And she does, like, a lisp at some points where she's like, please, if I just need... And you're like, why are you speaking with this terror? I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, I worked with a number of autistic kids too, and I was pretty offended.
Yeah, just like, guys, I know you're trying your best, but yikes.
But also, beginning of autistic awareness, so yeah. I guess good job.
It was like, it was meant to be positive.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought her sister did a nice job.
Yes.
The actress that played her sister.
Totally.
I really did want to see her and Stephen Rembauer kiss, but I always want to see everyone kiss in every movie.
I agree.
So.
So, and we'll get there too, everybody. So yeah. Listen up. So,
hang on.
Anyway, so then you're introduced to Annie Wheaton, mm-hmm. who is this autistic girl.
Autistic power cell. And yes. Joyce Reardon, the beginning of this weird side of her, is that she's really obsessed and kind of bothering this poor autistic girl and her family to be like, I will pay you like $5,000, no, $10,000, no, $12,000. And it's like, where is she getting all this weird money from?
Yeah, and you're wondering where, because she also declares that she's self-financing this project to wake up this house, and also her motivations seem very greedy. Mm-hmm. She just wants the notoriety. And
she wants parapsychology to be, like, more accepted, but really what you can see is that she wants to be accepted as, like, the face of... And the thing about it is, like, all the research that she cites is, like, this house makes people disappear, and it treats men like this, it kills men, it eats women, and, like, disappears them, so we're gonna wake it up. And it's like, why? I don't understand why all the psychologists are sitting in that room where she has them all together, and no one, like, raises their hand, like, yeah, why are we doing this? Like, this seems like a... Isn't he tearing the house down soon? Like, why don't we just tear the house down?
Just let them tear the house down. And also, yeah, wouldn't you think that they would all question whether or not they themselves would be disappeared and or killed?
But the thing that they also keep pulling in, especially with Emery, who's one of my favorite characters in the whole movie.
He's my favorite worst.
He's so great bad. He is shown as, like, one of these very Stephen King characters as, like, really strong psychic abilities. He can see images of dead people.
Uh-huh.
He lives with his really overbearing mom who spends all their money, who's really religious. And it's, like, that's just a Stephen King.
Yeah. Like, it's a trope. Yeah. It's great because he's got...
he needs the money.
He needs the money. He's someone you... On a weird level, because he's also a shithead.
He is. He's one of those, like, nerd shitheads where you're like, why are you making me feel bad? Because clearly you've had your whole life being this kind of outcast. Why are you so mean?
Yeah, why are you so mean? You shouldn't be mean.
But he also has, like, a nice little, like, tender side to him.
Yes, and he loves his mom, and he also will do everything to preserve their relationship, to preserve his mom's dignity for some reason.
Yeah.
And in that sense.
Even though, like, he knows he's in, like, a stupid situation.
Yeah.
That was, the Julian Sands character is basically the voice of reason for the whole movie, except he's really mean to Emery for, like, no reason.
Yes!
And you're like, dude, you're hot. Why are you being so rude to this poor nerd?
So then there's Emery, right? So we've just declared Emery. There's mm-hmm. Kathy Kramer.
She's just the nice religious lady who, like, I kind of thought at the beginning, I was like, oh, she's going to get killed because she likes Jesus and this is a Stephen King movie. But she's just nice the whole movie.
She is nice the whole movie.
She's just a nice mom figure that gets some nice, funny, like, mom jokes in.
Yes. There's Nick.
She's an automatic writer, we should say that.
Oh, yeah. We should also say what all these peoples are. So, right, so we declared that Annie was the sort of ultimate psychic. She moves
things with her brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also autistic, so hard to reach. I put that in quotes.
And then we just mentioned Emery, and Emery sees...
Dead people.
And they bring him messages.
And he, makes quips to him, too, because, like, the dead people keep trying to warn him not to go to Rose Red.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they do, he's just like, well, you know, pay me $5,000, and then we'll see. And
as he's eating ice cream.
He's eating ice cream. There's, like, blood in the fridge, and he's like, listen, ladies. He sees a lot of times what you see are... groupings of dead women. And there mm-hmm. are different pairings, but it's usually, you'll see two dead women.
Yeah.
And he'll usually see two dead women at a time, one or two.
Yeah, and that's...
Bad CGI dead women.
Oh, terrible. But that's Emery specific, too, because he's, somehow you get the impression that he's undersexed, but...
Yeah, he's repressed.
He's repressed.
And he wants to have sex, but also, like... And I feel like the ghosts feed off that energy of, like, oh, yeah, would you do me even though I'm, like, rotting? And he's like, no!
So funny. So, yeah. So, Emery sees dead people. Kathy is an automatic writer. Mm-hmm. Then we've got Nick Hardaway.
Who's Julian Sands.
Julian Sands.
He's basically a mind reader.
Yeah.
But he's kind of the ultimate say in what's going on. Like, he's like this kind of weirdly perfect character.
Yeah,
except
he
that
is.
He's mean to
Emery.
And the thing is that you really feel like you need him for the whole movie.
Uh-huh.
So when he disappears, it's like, oh no, now we really don't have anybody who can help us out.
Yes, yeah. There's Victor Krandinsky.
Ooh.
Victor Krandinsky.
Weird character.
Weird character. He's an old man.
Yeah.
Which also doesn't quite fit with this group, but
he doesn't have any powers.
Yeah.
Like, they never really mention his powers. His main thing is that he keeps having to leave the room to take his heart medicine.
Yeah.
That's his main... Like, he gets weird and you don't know why, and then later it's revealed that he's been taking heart medicine the whole time.
Yeah.
But, like, there's something, like, disjointed and weird about him.
There is, yeah. They do mention it at one point, and gosh, if I could remember. But that's just it, is you don't really remember with this character because he's kind of just there to die.
He's there to die. Because I feel like, a lot of these characters are Stephen King's babies, and
yeah.
he had to, like, keep a bunch of them close to his heart and survive. So it's like, we'll make this old man who we can lose. Like,
yeah.
And then the pretty girl.
Yeah, the pretty
Pam.
Girl. Pam. Yeah, Pam Asbury.
And she, what was hers?
She can...
To touch things mm-hmm. and tell you. And she'll usually touch things and then say in a voice that's not hers something frightening.
Right, so she's kind of your psychic medium, right? So she's,
yeah.
like, sort of...
And the pretty girl that, like...
And the beautiful, who everybody wants to get with.
Everybody, she wanted to get with Steven.
Yep.
Which is revealed cutely when we introduce Kathy's automatic writing. She goes, oh, just, you know, think of something. And then Kathy starts writing, and then she writes Steven with a heart, and they're all like, oh, ha, ha, ha. And I really wanted them to focus more on that, but
yeah.
the most you see of that is, at one point, she's standing next to him and looks a little unnerved. There's a lot also behind the scenes of... this, like, mean man at the school who wants to, like, take Joyce Reardon down
yes.
and is, like, questioning the expedition, and he's sending this little, like, can we swear on this podcast?
Yeah, absolutely.
This little fuck boy
yeah.
to, like, do his bidding
and
like, get pictures of them.
We should say this is the same fuck boy at the beginning
mm-hmm.
who was asking Joyce all these questions about going back into the home. And I believe it's Professor Miller.
Professor Miller.
Professor Miller.
And for the most part, it seems like Professor Miller is, like, bossing her around. And he's like, hey, guess what? They took your tenure away.
Yeah.
You're doing so much to lose this. And this is where Joyce gets weird.
Yeah.
Because she reaches into her purse. She gets a cut on her finger. And her hand is bleeding, like, profusely. And he goes, ooh, kind of a nasty cut. And she just kind of folds her hand in and starts giving him this weird lecture about, like, the world and all the things that are seen and unseen. And then she smears her blood all over his face.
It's the weirdest.
It's such a turn that I feel like there's no way to come back from it for her.
Right.
And it's really early to see that amount of crazy.
Yes.
But it happens, and then everyone just kind of moves on.
Tell us the story of Rose Red.
Okay.
Tell us the story.
I'll briefly as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Rose Red, so the diary of Ellen Rimbauer, she's this young sort of socialite, kind of rich, but not rich enough to, like, have her own fortune, I guess. Like, her dad's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
She meets this guy who's, like, 30 years older than her, John Rimbauer, and she has a lot of reservations about marrying him. He's kind of a violent man, but he's never been violent to her. He has a reputation around town of, like, hooking up with young girls, like, blah, 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 but she's like, oh, I can't imagine I would have this whole life, and blah, blah, blah. So they get married, and then they go overseas for a year. He runs an oil company, and he's running it bad. Like, he's making a lot of money, but he has questionable morals.
Mm-hmm.
And overseas, she gets really sick in Africa, and it's, like, because of an STD that he gave her. So there's all these problems happening in their marriage. This book is way more sexual than the movie.
Okay.
And as she's on this trip, she starts realizing that she's having, like, lesbian feelings for other women.
Mm-hmm.
And she befriends Sukina, who is, like, basically just her caretaker. And she calls her sister, she's my friend, blah, blah, blah. But she's also, like, having to deal with these, like, feelings. She's like, every now and then I see her like this, and it makes me feel like this, and, like, I know that's sinful, and blah, blah, blah. So it's very repressed Victorian. This is all, like, 1907
sure.
time. So they get home, and the house has started being built. This huge, like, Seattle mansion. They're,
yeah.
like, the richest people in Seattle. But along the way, there's been, like, this weird shooting. Like, the foreman came and shot one of the guys, and they died. And then, like, they found Indian bones on the graveyard site, and instead of stopping the construction, they just burned the bones to hide the evidence. And then, like...
And this house they're going to call...
They don't have the name
yet.
They get the name once they're all moved in. But the thing is, they move in, the construction keeps going.
Okay.
And then she calls it Rose Red.
Uh-huh.
She brings Sukina back with her from Africa. She has two kids. She has a son who's like the heir named Adam, and a daughter named April who has a withered arm. And after she births her, she can no longer have kids because the arm like broke her uterus, I guess.
Weird.
Weird. So things are going horribly between her and John, but she has these kids, she has Sukina, and then it just, people start disappearing every year, they have all these parties, every time somebody, like, defiles a girl somewhere in the house, like her husband or some other guy, they, like, die and they disappear, and it just gets worse and worse and worse, and then, like, she starts hooking up with Sukina, and then her husband's like, listen, we're gonna have three ways, otherwise I'm having Sukina, like, kept in prison forever. Like, it's just, like, it gets bonkers.
That is weird.
And then, like, it's basically implied that the house gets rid of everybody but her, and that the house is the most jealous of them all, and she lives there by herself, and she's, like, building it herself, like, her hands are all, like, scrubbly from, like, construction,
yeah.
And then she dies, like, crazy old and alone.
Honestly... What you just said makes more sense than how they described it in the book.
Yeah, in the movie?
Or in the book, in the movie.
It does, and it's like, if you have all this background, you understand way more who these people are, why they're showing up, like, all these weird little nuances, but you almost have to read the book to fully understand who these ghosts are.
Totally.
How I came into understanding this story was I read this diary of Ellen Rimbauer, which is this companion piece almost meant as marketing material for Rose Red, but it's really good and really interesting. And I think having that background makes me like the whole Rose Red more.
So let's get to some trivia questions.
Oh, I feel like I just watched it again. I feel so good.
I know, me too. What a crazy movie. Here we go. The Joyce. Joyce was played by this woman, Nancy Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this actress, Nancy Travis, starred in another scary and comedic movie in the 90s.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know?
I don't.
Which movie she starred in?
I'll give you a hint. Give me a hint.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
She played opposite Mike Myers.
Was this a axe murderer?
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
I never
murderer.
Saw it, but that would make... Oh, they would have fun chemistry, I bet.
I know, and watching it, I was like, where do I know this woman from? God, where do I know her from?
That's a fun...
And then it was really fun as it came back to
She's me, really like, watchable.
She is, yeah. She's beautiful. She's...
Yeah.
And, you know, she's born, I think, in the early 60s or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, she's just a little older than my mom? Really?
Yeah.
Because she's beautiful. She's young. She just, like, looks...
She looks young. Yeah, she's great.
She's great. Sissy, or the autistic woman's... Or the autistic Annie's sister. Wanted to be called Sister. She wanted to be called Sissy and Sister, which also is an interesting point we didn't touch. But...
Yeah.
What is that character's real name?
I want to say Jennifer.
Very close.
Jessica?
Very close.
John.
It starts with an R.
Rebecca?
Rachel.
Yep. These are all, like, 90s names.
I know.
That makes sense. Yeah. She almost never gets called her real name.
Mm-hmm.
I like her a lot. I thought too, that she was the girl from You've Got Mail, but she's not.
No, yeah. That,
The girl that was, like, in the bookshop, like, oh, I never have a boyfriend. I thought that was her. It's not her.
Yeah, that actress has been in tons of different TV shows and stuff. I knew her as, like, a random character in the TV show House.
Oh, that makes sense.
Mostly because I did Cruise Ship, I worked on Cruise Ship, and they played reruns of House over and over and
so
over.
So you get into House.
So I saw that girl on House all the time.
Did you read this piece of trivia, or do you know this, that she fell in love with and married a fellow cast member on Rose Red,
Whoa.
And later got divorced? Which cast member of Rose Red, out of all of them, did she marry, fall in love with, and later divorce?
Oh my gosh, this is such a great... I'm going to call them by the character names, because
yes,
I don't know.
Yes, because I don't remember, yeah.
I'm hoping it was... Nick. Was it Nick?
You mean Julian Sands?
Yeah, Julian Sands.
No, it was the fuckboy.
What?
Yeah.
She ended up marrying the fuckboy?
Yeah. And they got divorced later.
I'm
fine with this.
Sadly and weirdly, yeah, fine with that. And
yeah.
That's so good. That's a good piece of trivia.
I was really happy. Romance always gets me.
Yeah, that's great. Pam Asbury, mm-hmm. that particular actress,
mm-hmm.
She has a very famous and popular younger sister nowadays.
Oh.
Like, that actress does.
That actress does.
And if I tell you her name, if I tell you that actress's name, you'll know who her younger sister is.
Is she an actress or a musician?
Both.
Oh. Ariana Grande?
No.
Who is it?
Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, that's really
because
interesting.
Zooey Deschanel, yeah.
That's really, that makes
Isn't
sense.
That,
they look the same, too. They have those big eyes.
Isn't that so funny?
That's really funny.
Every time that Zooey Deschanel's older sister is ever mentioned in any piece about Zooey Deschanel, I'm always like, oh, she's an actress, too? I've never seen her in anything.
And now you have.
And now I have.
Beautiful Pam.
Yeah, beautiful Pam in Rose Red. And this is my last, and maybe my favorite piece of trivia. What famous mansion is Rose...
Winchester House.
Yeah, Winchester House. Yes, of course.
I think part of the reason I got into this is because reading about the Winchester House, it's based on, like, this woman who saw a medium.
Yeah.
Medium is like, as long as you continue building this house, you will never die.
Yep.
And so she builds, like, and she knows it's haunted, so she builds stairways to nothing, rooms that lead to nowhere. Like, it's meant to confuse the ghost, but, like, she lives there, too. And it's like, what a chaotic environment.
Oh, my gosh.
I would love to visit the Winchester
Me
House.
Me, too. I would love to visit. I haven't yet. Is it San Diego?
Yeah, it's in California. I don't know exactly where.
Yeah, I don't either.
But people can visit.
Gosh, I love it.
Here's my other piece of trivia.
Can't wait.
People thought, and they kind of put a little teaser in the diary of Ellen Rimbauer, uh-huh. My Life at Rose Red. They're like, oh, this was found in Maine, like this script.
Okay.
So people would go, oh, Stephen King wrote it. And I personally thought that Stephen King wrote it for years until I found out who actually wrote it. It's another popular suspense writer. Do you have any guesses?
Oh. John Saul?
That's a good guess.
Okay, great.
Ridley Pearson wrote it.
Oh!
So, neat. And it's really interesting because it's such a feminine book.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's so much about, like, and it's, I'm sure he loved writing all these, like, women looking at, it. Like, every time she talks about a woman, she, like, talks about how she looks, and then she's always, like, so down on her own. Like,
can you give me another book that Ridley Pearson wrote?
No.
Oh, that's okay.
I don't think I've read anything that he wrote. I just recognize his name as a suspense author.
I do, too, which is why I was like, oh, I recognize his name, but I don't
know. Be interesting to see, because it was just an interesting, I like all the feminine aspects of it, of, like, these women in this house are all, like, we're not going to put up with men being horrible, and it calls out a lot of, like, Victorian terribleness, like, misogyny and stuff like that, and, like, homophobia. Like, it's a lot of, like... It dances around a lot of progressive ideas, but it's all enveloped within this horrible house that's, like, has this weird sense of justice.
Yeah.
But is also like, hey, maybe leave everybody alone. Like, if a girl gets raped, like, you don't need to, like, envelop her in the house and then have her, like, come out, like, my skirt, I'm looking for my skirt. It's like, just let her go, dude.
Yeah.
Rose Red, man.
Rose Red. Thanks so much for coming out and talking to me about this.
Yeah, oh my god, thank you for having me.
I know.
Thanks for watching all 4.5 hours of Rose Red.
It was so much Rose Red. But it was really fun, and it's also the time, I think, so if you were to give this movie, like, 0 to 10 roses, we'll say,
mm-hmm.
0 to 10 roses, 10 roses being the maximum and best movie you've ever seen in your life.
Right, but it's roses.
Yes,
it's
roses.
Here's the thing. I think a normal person would give it 4 roses.
Uh-huh.
Sarah Shaggy's gonna give it 9 roses.
I think it depends on the day. Today I'm gonna give it 7 roses.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a normal person would give it 4 roses.
Four roses or less.
But it is the type of movie that, like, if you like a scary movie, especially in October, if you're like, I just have a full day to do nothing and kind of watch a ghost story, but also,
like, have it on
of,
in the background.
Yes, also kind of work on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great movie.
Great movie for that, and it's almost like going to a playground. Like, if you don't want to play on the playground, you're not going to have any fun.
Yeah.
But if you like a playground and you want to climb on the swings and, like, run around. It's so much fun. Yeah. I feel like it's, like, mentally, like, a playground where it's, like, oh, I'm going to fill in the gaps, and I'm going to think about this, and, like, these characters are like this, and, like, it's this whole piece.
Totally.
Like, but you can be really cynical at a playground. So, like, however you want to deal with this movie, go to town. Yeah. I will agree with you on whatever, because it's just, it's so big.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thanks so much for coming out and talking to me about it.
Happy Scare Blast.
Yeah, thanks. If you, if we wanted to find you online or in October sometime, do you have anything coming up? Or
you can find me on Twitter at Sarah Joy Shockey.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what I'm doing in October. Just tweet at me and I'll tell you.
That's great. We'll tweet you.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Sarah.
I'm hard up, girls, but I'm not that hard up. I think I screamed at that line. I was so happy.